Welcome to Truth for Today, the Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to rightly divide the word of truth in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today, we continue our talks on Psalm 119, The Importance of God's Word, with David Pullman speaking on verses 89 to 96, Lamed.
We are continuing our series on Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96, The Importance of God's Word. In the original Hebrew scriptures, each verse of the stanza, except verse 90, commences with the Hebrew letter Lamed, which means ox gold. Introduction to verses 89 to 96. In the hand of a farmer ploughing or a cart driver, the ox gold would be used to start and keep the oxen going forward, ensure they keep moving in the right direction, and maybe even encouraged to quicken their pace. Over the years, I have often been reminded that in Christian development, there is never the thought of standing still or going backwards, as this would result in spiritual stagnation. Christianity is always connected with progress, growing, and spiritual development. In Paul's letter to the Philippian church, chapter 3, verse 14, he states, "I press toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let us look at each verse in detail. Verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." This short verse brings to our attention some important issues. First, the word forever, indicating to us that the Lord's word is eternal and established in heaven. The word is communicated to us by God's servants, as inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 state, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The word is permanent and not subject to change. So, the word is dependable. We can always rely upon its teaching. The word equips for godly service and provides daily guidance. Finally, we should emphasize that it is the Lord's word, preserved for us in the Bible. The word is not a pick and mix of our own choosing. If the word does not fit with the standards of the world, then the only conclusion for a Christian is the word is right and the world has got it wrong. Verse 90. "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides." In Psalm 119, there are three verses that break the general rule that in each verse of the psalm, there is a mention of the word law or one of its synonyms. The three verses are 90, 122 and 132. In relation to verse 90, we need to ask why. A possible answer to this may be the continuing theme from verse 89 to verse 91. The first part of the verse directs our attention back to God. "Your faithfulness endures to all generations." In many ways, God is faithful, faithful to those who believe. From Adam onwards, one generation to the next, God's faithfulness can be traced as we read through the Bible. Where there is failure, it is on our side, but God remains faithful and constant throughout. God does not change, and neither does his word. The second part of the verse brings to our attention God's wonderful creation. "You establish the earth, and it abides." We are taken right back to the beginning of time, Genesis chapters 1 and 2. As we read the book of Genesis, we know that problems and difficulties occurred. Disobedience and sin arrived with a devastating impact and had dramatic consequences. The perfection of creation became damaged, and the once ideal environment changed to a disastrous situation. The flood was the next major disaster for mankind, as God judged the evil of people, with only 8 persons being preserved. But throughout it all, the basic work of creation remained. The established earth abides, it endures, it continues. This is the major point of God's faithfulness to all generations. The words of Thomas O. Chisholm's hymn are most appropriate. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou for ever wilt be. Chorus. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Verse 91. They continue this day, according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. The psalmist states that God's word and creation continue right to this day. It is not just to the psalmist's day, but to our day, and they will continue because the word is settled in heaven, and the decision about creation is in the hand of God. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 states, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Still today, these basic conditions of creation remain in the calendar of each year. God's word reveals all that we need to know about divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is what we have in the Bible, God's revealed word. God's word is unlike the words of mankind, which cannot reach into the soul and bring people to a saving faith in Christ, the Son of God. Creation is the platform in which God has displayed his wonderful love and grace to the whole of mankind. From the amazing expanse of the universe, as seen on a clear starry night, to the microscopic detail within a single cell. Most amazing of all is the tremendous event of the incarnation of the Son of God. All has been divinely decided according to God's ordinances or judgments. What has been established cannot change. The latest concern that the environmentalists have is the damage being caused to the planet by plastic waste. The wonder product of decades ago is now a monster damaging the environment. Plastic is not biodegradable. It simply breaks up into smaller and smaller pieces. In recent times, we have seen rivers choked with plastic rubbish, beaches totally covered with plastic, and vast floating islands of plastic in the world's oceans. Mankind seems to have an aptitude to be destructive. Verse 92. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. When the psalmist uses the word law, he is considering the whole of God's word. God's word is there to teach, to give daily guidance, and to direct our attention towards right things. God's word is an anchor or foundation stone on which to build our lives. This verse shows the psalmist delighting in the law. He finds joy in reading and, no doubt, meditating on God's word. We must challenge ourselves as to whether we find delight in reading the Bible. We are not told specifically about the affliction that the psalmist was going through. The word in the Hebrew is associated with poverty, misery, and even depression. It would seem to be life-threatening as he talks about perishing, even to losing his life. Let us not miss the life-saving connection. The word of God is much undervalued in the world today. God's word provides the balance and solutions to life's problems. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. This verse supports and emphasizes what we have said in connection with the previous verse. The psalmist makes a binding promise to his God. I will never forget your precepts. It is good to make a commitment to God's word. Read God's word daily and memorize what you can. Daily reading God's word is important for every Christian. It is the daily spiritual manna that has its origin in heaven. A precept is that which is a specific charge for which we are expected to be responsible. God gave the Israelites 10 commandments. Each commandment has a specific charge for them to obey. The Israelites had asked God to give them commandments, but what they discovered was the impossibility to keep them. However, that was no reason not to commit to live by them to the best of their ability. It was this kind of life God desired for his earthly people. What was missing in every Israelite was the power to live fully by God's word. It is so different in the Christian age. The indwelling Holy Spirit in every believer gives the ability to live a godly life, to refuse the wrong and to do the right. As Paul found, he had two conflicting natures. Romans chapter 7 verses 24 and 25 highlight the problem. Verse 24 states, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul concludes that the natural man has not the power to do what is right for God. But the remedy in verse 25 states, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The realization that two principles were at work is a major step forward which every Christian needs to understand. We are not left at this point. Verses 1 to 4 of Romans chapter 8 complete the teaching on how to live a victorious life. Verse 1 gives the principle that is true for every person who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Sins are forgiven, and the judgment due to us has been taken by Jesus on the cross. We are now in a place of blessing. Verse 2 to 4 teach how a believer can live a victorious, spirit-filled and controlled life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This power of the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit in Christians today was not true of the godly Israelite of old. The Holy Spirit came upon godly Israelites, but it was not permanent as it is with Christians. As King David of old said in Psalm 51, verse 11, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." This cannot happen to a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 94, "I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts." This continues the same thoughts as verses 92 and 93. The psalmist is obviously concerned about the situation that was threatening to engulf him. In verse 92, he was in danger of perishing or dying, whereas in verse 93, he was looking for life. Once again, in this verse, there is the cry, "Save me." In many respects, this person is desperate. Instead of looking around for someone or something to help, he remains firm as to God's word. Again, he states that he is seeking your precepts. There is a plea to God. He reminds God of his faithfulness to God's word. Because he is living a godly life, then this is the basis for God to intervene and bring about deliverance. We might think that God is either deaf to the psalmist's entreaties or uncaring, as to the situation of one of his own children. Both thoughts are untrue. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 10 has this wonderful verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We are likely to face many temptations or trials as we go through life. Just because we belong eternally to God does not guarantee a life free from difficulty. Some difficulties may be our own making, and others may come upon us from external situations. The challenge is, how do we respond to the trials? The above verse showed the boundaries and limits. My son took his two children camping when they were younger, and not always in the best of weather. He felt that this was one of the ways to develop character. Character forming, he would say. He was probably following his parents, who also went camping with their three children. In verses 92 to 94, we have noticed how the psalmist refers to the law, and specifically to precepts in the law. This was the bedrock on which the psalmist stood. He was not going to move away from this secure place. It was his stronghold. There is a similar theme in Psalm 61 and verse 2. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The teaching in God's word is not theoretical, but is very practical, meeting the circumstances of daily life, developing godly character. Verse 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. In this verse, we now move from the generalization of the afflictions that the psalmist spoke of in verse 92 to the identification of persons, the wicked. It is these persons who are greatly disturbing the psalmist. We are not told what it is about, but in every age, the wicked or ungodly do not need a reason to persecute believers. Just after sin came into the world, through Adam's failure and disobedience, we find Cain murdering his brother Abel and lying to God about the whole affair. The event is documented in Genesis chapter 4. Abel had not wronged Cain, but Cain was angry with God and took out his anger on his own brother Abel. Notice the language of this verse. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. They were looking for an occasion, probably when there were no witnesses, so that they could carry out their evil intentions. In the above situation of Cain and Abel, Cain probably thought no one had seen his evil crime, but God had observed the whole event. Non-Christians think that wrongs can be hidden, but God always sees and even knows the motives. Also, God has his day of reckoning, when all things will be judged according to his divine standard. The psalmist knows that God understands and sees all, that everything is written down in God's records. The scriptures are full of information about the nature of God. 1 John chapter 4 states that God is love, in verses 8 and 16. Psalm 99 verse 9 states, "For the Lord our God is holy." Daniel chapter 9 verse 14 states, "For the Lord our God is righteous." We might think these attributes are conflicting, but not with God. God's nature of love is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning death and resurrection to the throne of grace in heaven. God's holiness means that he cannot be associated with sin and allow it and sinners to escape justice, even to the point of eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Then God's righteousness enables him to bring into blessing those who trust Christ as Saviour, to have their sins forgiven, and to condemn those who refuse or ignore God's offer of mercy. The psalmist knows his God and understands the testimonies found in the scriptures, and therefore places his confidence in what he knows, as the end of the verse states, but I will consider your testimonies. How do we gain such confidence or assurance? The answer has been given in verse 9 of this psalm, by taking heed according to your word. Verse 96, I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. This verse at first sight seems a little difficult, but I think it is a contrast. The psalmist observes the world in which he lives and sees that any perfection that might seemingly have been achieved has its end or limit. In Young's literal translation of the scriptures, he rephrases the first part of the verse as, "Of all perfection I have seen an end," making the verse easier to understand. Whereas, "Your commandment is exceedingly broad," indicates that the scriptures have a quality to them which cannot be exhausted, regardless of how much study is undertaken. It is God's intention that Christians grow in spiritual maturity. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 states, "That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Reading further in chapter 3, we find Paul was always striving forward to gain a better appreciation of Christ. Verse 21 states, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Striving or moving forward in faith seems to be Paul's motivation in his Christian service. What he desired for himself, he undoubtedly desired for fellow believers. To conclude, the verses have focused our attention on the Hebrew letter Lamed, meaning ox goad. We have seen that God's word is firmly established and continues unchanging. See verses 89 to 91. In verses 92 to 95, we have the repeated, preserving and life-giving quality of God's word brought before us. Finally, in the last verse, we have indicated the inexhaustible quality of the scriptures. This reminds me of the river that flows out from the house of God in Ezekiel chapter 47. As Ezekiel walked into the river, he found waters to swim in, and it was so broad that it could not be crossed. As the ox goad encourages and guides the oxen forward, may God's word motivate us to move forward to grow spiritually. Thank you for listening to Truth for Today on Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96, Lamed, talk number 1069. May the Lord bless and encourage you in your Christian life.